do so is because this is my fifth year running the teacher training course, and I feel that this is at least my halfway house, if not more. I remember the first year when Sue took over the magazine and I took over the teacher training course. I remember walking in Cannock Chase with Sue, and we both agreed 10 years was our maximum. So perhaps you'll be here tomorrow. We're nearer the end than I thought. But anyway, I felt that, in fact, I felt last year that the time had come for reassessment. But as most of you know, my work with AOTOS has been focusing across the channel rather more than I would have liked in the last year. And running the Marlborough course has meant that I just haven't been able to focus on what was going on here in the UK as much as I would like to have done. And indeed, I haven't got as far with the investigations that I wanted to do before this course, and that's partly still because of the aftermath of Marlborough. So this is by way of my thoughts at the moment, and it isn't me pontificating in any way, it's how I'm seeing it at the moment, and I do want to have feedback from you. If not immediately today, I would welcome your thoughts, because you live all around the country, you meet other singing teachers, you meet singing teachers who feel that we have something to offer in the way of a teaching training course, or you meet people who don't feel their needs are being met. And the point is, what needs should we be meeting in AOTOS? And that's really what I want us to turn our attention to. We've had some fun with the computer. Heidi has solved it. Heidi has solved everybody's problems today. Heidi, many times again. So, we have a very venerable teacher training course, mainly thanks to Eileen. I don't know if Eileen is here. Yes, of course she is. So near that I can't see you. I should, in a way, hand over to Eileen to explain the history. But indeed, I think we most of us know that the inspiration came from Nats, from Eileen experiencing the American course and bringing it over here. And I think we're unique in Europe having this sort of course, aren't we, Eileen?
Yes. Yeah.
And the core of what we do is extremely important, and it has to stay. And this is another reason why I'm talking about this today, because I feel that some of the needs that are coming in are tempting me to erode that central core, and I want to see which other way we can handle it in that case. It is, in essence, an apprenticeship. It's learning by doing under the experienced eye of somebody who's been doing it a long time. And isn't that actually the best way of learning? You learn from people who know what they're talking about because they've been doing it a long time and they have the tricks of the trade to hand on. It's an amazing concept, and it's a concept that we really must hang on to. It is an apprenticeship, and that, I think, remains central to what we do. During the 5 years I've been running it, we've changed location. It was in Cannock when I took it over. I've brought it down to Dorset's, which happens to be my local school. It has excellent facilities, but it means that we've been stuck in the West Country for 3 years. And believe me, folks, we're staying there as long as I'm running it, just because the pure logistics of finding local pupil singers, and again, Eileen will vouch for this from Harrow, if you're not on your home ground, trying to find those singers is impossible. Because each pupil teacher, each student teacher who comes, has two pupil singers, and we provide those. Now, in my third year in Wiltshire, I've got a list of people who are now ringing me up and saying, when's the course? When can I come? And there may be people who don't do any other formal singing teaching, singing lessons all year, or they may be pupils of AOTOS members, etc. I'm building up a rota of people, and actually this year, save one or two problems, it's been far more straightforward. So that's the logic for keeping where it is, because I know that I am asked from time to time. There's a question of the size. It has gone up in numbers. I've sort of wavered between 12 and 15 student teachers in the 5 years. We're at 13 this year, as it happens. The faculty, again, has remained basically the same, with asking experienced teachers, AOTOS members, to come and do the guiding. What I did bring in was an international visitor each year. The first one, purely by chance, that we had the most lovely Italian lady who came and spoke Italian with us. Then we had Marvin Kinsey came, and this year we actually have Elizabeth Aubrey, who is American but lives in Rome. So I've gone full circle and I'm back to Italian with vowel sounds and things like that. Last year was interesting because we ended up with our lovely Latvian, Andis Petersons, whose English was actually not quite good enough to handle the situation of being the guiding teacher. And that was a lesson I learnt, that a couple of his students said that he couldn't quite pick up the subtleties of what they were trying to do. I'm learning on the job as well. So the basic model is the six sessions for each student teacher, teaching a pupil under the guidance of an experienced teacher mentor in an individual, private studio situation. That's what's so wonderful, that it is this individual tuition, and that must stay. I'm sure Eileen will be with me there. That's absolutely the core of the course. And it's a very privileged position for the student teacher to be in. And that's something that I think sometimes they don't appreciate, just the quality of and the value of that one-to-one tuition. And not just once, but six times during the week. So they really go away, and I know there are some people sitting here who are nodding away who have actually been student teachers on the course, and I know they feel that. So I'm absolutely committed to maintaining that. What are the disadvantages? It's only held once a year. Now, we all know, as learners, that if you don't go away and practice immediately afterwards, you wander away from what you've been taught. And so sometimes I think we gear these people up and we send them off and we say goodbye and what happens next. That's one thing. It's a static location. I've already spoken about that. The pupils are unknown to the student teachers. It can be an advantage, it can be a disadvantage. The problem, from my point of view as an administrator, is that I'm at the mercy of what pupils I can get hold of. And sometimes, with the best will in the world, especially in the middle of the summer, people let you down. And so I've had a student teacher this year, for instance, who's particularly asked to work with a changing voice. I had a changing voice boy lined up. I was rung up just before I came away. We're going away on holiday. So I'm training the area of Wiltshire to find changing voices. Christina, any changing voices down in Salisbury? You know, this is the sort of thing that, and this is the problem, and this is why it can sometimes cause problems. Finance. I've actually had a couple of experienced teachers refuse to come because of the finance, because there's not the money in it for them, and they don't feel that their work is being valued. It's a professional engagement. It's something we have to take on board. It has happened to me twice. We do rely on the willingness of experienced staff to come and give of their knowledge, basically. They only have an honorarium, they have their travel. It is a huge commitment by our experienced staff and something that I can't thank them enough for doing. I think most of them feel that it's a real privilege to be asked to do it, but nevertheless, particularly if your income is not particularly high, I think we have to recognise that it can be quite a sacrifice. And at the moment, and this is what's causing the problem, it's a catch-all format. If somebody sends me an inquiry on the email saying, what can I do as far as a teacher training course is concerned, this is all I can offer them. And frankly, it's not suitable for quite a lot of the people who are talking to me at the moment. And there is also no accreditation, other than a certificate saying you've been here. Just a thought. So is it fit for purpose? Well, this is not a new question. I can remember standing outside Harrow with Heidi and Eileen the year before I took over, and Eileen said to me, you will find that there will be new teachers coming. How long this can go on the way it is, I don't know. I think you should keep it as one course for the moment. Remember that conversation, Eileen? But you alerted me then to the fact that this was starting to become a problem for you. Is it providing professional development? Absolutely. for experienced teachers? Is it covering new repertoire areas? Yes, it is. Is it providing new pupil types for the student teachers to work with? If I can possibly manage it, if you've requested it, yes, it is. Is it suitable for new teachers? I think no. Is it suitable for untrained musicians? No. Is it suitable for unconventionally trained singers? No. And these are the sorts of people who are sending us requests at the moment. So this year, what have I done? In the actual teacher training course, we've created an allowance of 4 places for new teachers. This is an experiment, and this is in the light of actually an accident, as so often experiments start like accidents, don't they? We had a teacher who dropped out at the last minute last year, so Liza actually had a free space, and she worked with one of the new teachers, just herself and the new teacher, and then we brought in a pupil singer for the other slot. So instead of having 2 pupils to work with, this new teacher only had 1, and the other slot she worked with her guidance teacher on her own. Now we're doing that with 3 new teachers this year, and we'll see how it works. We've got Coral doing 2, we've got Vivian Pike doing 1, 2 very experienced teachers who I'm sure will guide them very gently in. Whether it will work, I don't know. It's in the nature of an experiment. We make sure that we cover anatomy. Linda will be doing her talk on anatomy, and we have a wonderful Alexander teacher in Lynn Borum, who I'm sure you'll remember from here. She's an absolute treasure. The thing she said last year to me was, don't forget to stretch the front of your backbone. And I've lived off that all year. It's a wonderful thing. We're working on the changing voices. Janice comes with her boys, and we're now building up a repertoire of videos that are lasting over, is it 4 years, Janice? I think it is now. And it's fascinating. I mean, this is building up a wonderful archive, and this is because of the teacher training course, really. Elizabeth started us on the older voice, because that was her speciality, and so we've tried to do something on that each year. We've built in a workshop on our popular styles. Linda again has done that for us a couple of years. Mary Hammond came and did it for us 1 year. Mary King came 1 year. And again, classical styles. This year, Paul will be doing it. The international visitor I've mentioned about. You can tell who's involved with the next one. Coral does business sense and exam preparation. Absolutely invaluable sessions. And this year, the other new thing we've done is that on the day they arrive, we're using something that Paul did for the first time last year and then did at one of our weekend courses, what do I do? And we're then going to do, how do I do it? And then we're going to do, what songs do I use? And this will be before they start on the Monday. So we're actually focusing their attention on what they've got to do on the Sunday when they arrive. So what else can we do? How can we start broadening the base? I feel that we should be taking things round the country. And this sort of stems from my apology, really, for bringing the main course to Dances. That's not going to change. But we could take some smaller things round the country, which would possibly provide regular input and support through the year. It would mean that the student teachers could bring their own pupils. The knowledge could be geared to the needs of the group that are getting together. There would be no residential costs, and hopefully what would end up would be a sort of network of self-help groups. This is what I was trying to do this year. I went to 2 very different setups. In October, I went over to Belfast, to Tosini, Maria O'Sullivan and Elizabeth Studdart, both who've done the teacher training course, so they were well geared in the ethos. And in fact, dear Marie basically tried to run the whole teacher training course in 3 days, and we ran around like absolute mad things. But again, the basic model was the same, the one-to-one tuition of a pupil with an experienced teacher watching was the central core, and it happened each day. But she then sort of built all the extra things in as well. And it was a very, very packed weekend. Then on a different level, Francis, Prince and Jane, who are both here today, ran a very successful day in Carlisle, and we had 6 teachers there. Jane, I think you provided the students, you provided the pupils, didn't you? And you provided the location. But we also had an extremely useful talk at the end of the day about what this group felt about what we'd done. And in the morning, we'd done What Do I Do? And then Margaret had done a sort of How Do I Do It? With Jane. And in the afternoon, she and I did the central core thing, one-to-one things with the student teacher and with pupils. And the feedback came that they liked the format of that day, they would like to meet again, the same group, and they would like to choose a theme for each time they met, so that other than the fact they wanted the same guidance teacher back, so that they were having ongoing support, they would like then to concentrate the rest of the day on themes that they chose, for instance repertoire, for instance a changing voice. And so this would end up by being a self-help group that's self-perpetuating for people who are teaching, but perhaps not necessarily really experienced, but not new. So it's a middle range group. And I think that's a very successful model. And I'm hoping to set up at least 2 more of those that I can attend. I can offer 2 weekends in the coming year, not to say that we limit that. Francis has done a very useful model from that day, and I'm very happy to help anybody around the country who would feel that they could set that up. I think it's a very good idea for them to have this sort of ongoing support system where they can use AOTOS as their support, but they're not dependent just on that one input. In other words, the growth and the training is coming from underneath as well. The benefits, the ongoing support, the regular meetings, and online contact between each other. I know this from my CTA Barasem work, that the contact between the students themselves are almost the most valuable setup that you can have. And I think that's something we should really be encouraging. It does mean that the meeting place is needed. It needs that they mean they need to be able to fund the guest teacher. It was Margaret Aronson, by the way, I didn't mention, did I, who came down from Edinburgh, which actually was a very near journey to Carlisle, and she's happy to continue that. But she needs her travel funding, obviously. So there is a little bit of finance there, but it was self-financing, I think, Francis, wasn't it? We're setting up professional allies and colleagues. The other idea that's come up, and it's something that again, is something that I've experienced myself as a mentor on a CBRSM course, but it's something that Nikki Jane Kemp mentioned to me a couple of years ago, and indeed I was already thinking along the same lines. And she was talking about student pupils sitting in at an experienced teacher's studio to learn that way. I would think of it as being possibly more of a two-way process, whereby a more experienced teacher took under their umbrella a few either new teachers or inexperienced teachers, and the process was one of them visiting the experienced teacher's studio, but also of the experienced teacher going and being a flying on the wall in their studio. So in other words, we're taking the teacher training course situation to the student teacher's own studio. And this would have to be on a local basis, but I do think it's something that's worth considering. It would be left really with an ongoing support system, again, locally based. It would depend, again, on the experienced teacher's willingness to be involved in something like that. But I think it's a very practical way. Again, it's taking the apprenticeship scheme this time to the student teacher's own studio. So the questions arriving just at the moment. Choosing and monitoring new experienced mentors. I've been through quite a few different people during my 5 years. Everybody's given unstintingly of their time and their energy. Some people have been more comfortable with the process than others have. it's almost impossible to know how people will react until they're actually in the situation. Now this year I am doing a little experiment. I know Eileen doesn't approve, but we're going to try it and see what we do. I've got two people who are interested in coming to be the experienced teachers on the course, and I'm going to ask them to come and be flies on the wall one morning in the teacher training course to see how it runs. It'll be late on in the week after the relationship with the student teacher and their mentor is well and truly set up. So hopefully it won't be too intrusive. They will be asked to do something. There'll be a reason for them being there, but they know what they're for as well. And it's just a way of perhaps introducing people, and there may be people amongst you here who are thinking, do you know, I'd quite like to do that, but I'm not sure whether it's for me. And it might be a way of just, again, gathering up people, particularly if we start doing some more locally based things as well, who can see whether they think it might suit them, and indeed whether we can see, because we can ask the student teachers, if they think it's been successful. Because it has to be a two-way thing. One of the most important things and one of the most difficult things to get right in this situation is when to intervene and when not to. And it's a very subtle thing, and I've heard from my visiting teachers various different ways that they've done it. From somebody saying, look, will you please teach this lesson because I have no idea what to do with this person. To somebody who won't stop talking, and the student teacher has come up and said, I really wanted to teach that lesson, but the master teacher wouldn't shut up. So, you know, just getting that balance right is quite difficult. There is a very central thing about financing. I have to go back to that again. I know I'm Paul Penny Pinching now, and Ian teases me about it, but I really do try not to spend money, and I'm terribly, terribly conscious of spending any of Aeotis' money. On the other hand, I'm putting in a plea here. I think if we can't help singing teachers to improve, what are we here for? Mm-hmm. And I think it's a really very important issue that probably needs addressing within the next year or so. The administration is a big job. It is a major part of my professional work all the way through. And it's something that just needs to be thought about, again, by spreading the base down. This may stop this being such an almighty job at the top. Just thinking about the local areas, we're just at a time when we're gathering the Aeotis areas into large places from the point of view of the committee, and I'm sure that's the right move. I'm just at the back of my mind wondering whether those areas are going to be too big to be running what I'm thinking about now, just because of the geographical space. Just a thought, and just something that I'd like you to think about, ponder on, please, and help me with. What else is available? There are other things available. There's the MTPP scheme, the ISM scheme in Reading. I don't know how many singers take that up, mind you, because I'm on the panel and I've never been asked to do it. So the CTOBRSM it works. There are fewer and fewer people going through that course, I have to say. But most years I've had three or four, and I think, Janet, you've done it. You don't now, because you've got the Saturday thing.
I did the TV.
Yes, yes. So there are people going through that, and it is quite a good mixture of the practical and the academic. So I do recommend that for some people. Some bigger institutions are starting to accredit schemes. Trinity is, Manchester is. And other societies are trying. EPTA, for instance, I don't know if any of you have seen the adverts in The Music Teacher and so on, but I actually talked to Lucinda Mackworth-Young the other day because she's in administrating that. And to be honest, the more she talked, the more I could see it was CTABRSM only for pianists, definitely. She's going along that line. It is practically based. They go to the Purcell School, I think, for 4 weekends during the year, and they have one-to-one tuition, and then they do some academic work between the weekends. It's a far bigger course than I think we would want to take on as Aeotis. Linda, I know you're involved in the BBA course at the City Lit, and I would like to know more about that and information there. Does this answer all the email requests that I get? No, it doesn't. But please, anybody who is involved in a course, I would like to know about it, because I would like to have compiled a list of what is available in the country with qualifications needed to go on to it, what you get at the end, what you study. So when I get the continual email requests, it's at least one a week, isn't it, Heidi, actually? I can look quickly to see what is available. Is there something that suits this person? That would be an extremely useful, practical thing. Typical inquiries. And believe me, these have come in over the last year. In fact, we had the first one on the course 2 years ago. I've sung professionally for 20 years, had some lessons in my teens, classical, but sing popular now on cruise ships, actually. Now I want to teach. Just finished at Mountview. I want to teach singing. I want to be a singing teacher. I take a gospel choir. They say I should really teach, but I don't read music. Most common, I want to be a singing teacher, how do I start? Now, I don't think that the teacher training course is right for that. And actually, of the things that I've suggested today, I'm not sure that anything quite meets any of those requests. So my question, and just a thought, is should we be doing something about that? That's something for you to ponder. These people are going to come along. What skills are needed? Not the energy and the empathy and everything that Deborah was talking about then, and a lot of things, the energy that we've been talking about. What skills do they need? Because believe me, these people are going to take pupils. And we can either leave them to take pupils and ruin them, or we can try. Even if it's to show them so that they get daunted and say, well, should I do that? But there will, out of that, be people who say, actually, yes, I would like to. Now, this is, I'm sure you can all think of different things, but I sort of just grouped thinking about things that we could actually help and teach them. They need to have a voice. All right. Well, if they're sat on cruise ships or they meet them out here or whatever, they probably do have some sort. They need to know how it works. They need to have a sort of overview of anatomy. They need to know some repertoire. They need basic musicianship, and this is the thing that increasingly in the teacher training course we're finding they don't have, let alone any basic keyboard skills. We are the Association of Teachers of Singing. They need to have some teaching skills. How do people learn? And they need to have some literacy. We need to have some word skills. Now, I'm sure we could go on. The list would be a mile long. And if we'd had time, I was going to leave you free to make the list. Just sort of guiding those into a few basic things, all of which we could help. Often singers don't have the lack of they have a lack of literate musicianship. They sometimes, on the positive side, these sorts of requests, have quite developed oral skills. Sometimes much more than those of us who are wedded to the written page, actually. And we need to be aware of respecting those skills, too. But they have a lack of healthy technical knowledge. They know what they do, they don't know how they do it, or anything else. They have no teaching skills, and they have a very limited repertoire knowledge. What they sing themselves, nothing else. That's what we're meeting. So, we've said that. Could we, and should we, and this is again, this is an open question, evolve a basic introduction course that we do basically by correspondence, covering basic anatomy, music literacy, basic keyboard, basic teaching, to be followed over the course of several months under guidance, and it would need careful planning and running and should lead to some accreditation. Now it seems to me that we could build, and I hate the word, but I can't think of another one to do it, modules of work covering these core skills just to start people off, that we could then, when we get the these requests through, when we can check people off and see where they are and what they could do, that we could start them. Because we start from a different base place with singers than we do with the other instrumentalists. This is perhaps a big question, but it's something to think about, I think. So, that's the sort of ideas that I've been having. And what it leaves the teacher training course doing, and this is just going in my head at the moment, is that it may even get a little smaller again. And it may be for real professional development for the people, as it was originally intended, for the people who are teaching and have been teaching for some time and who are really going to get a lot out of an intensive week with an experienced teacher. Instead of perhaps dissatisfaction because the course is not able to meet the more basic needs of some of the people that are coming. If the other things get set up, I think this is possibly where we could be going. And it could be that we're almost getting back to the core motive behind the course. This is the way I'm thinking. If we're going to do all of this, it's going to be quite a big commitment. And we're going to need to set up quite a number of people who are interested in being perhaps the local teacher training director. Not the same as the local area representative necessarily, because I think the training, this is if AOTAS wants to go this way, but I think without offering training and improvement for senior teachers, what are we here for? We are wanting to improve the quality of teaching of singing in this country. And if we can't provide means for people to get better or to learn how to start, where do we do it? So, if we do it, we become the first port of call. If people don't know what to do or how to train, they come to us. We get a reputation for wanting to uphold professional standards. We don't turn people away, but we say, if you come to AOTAS, we are going to set you the standard for how we would like to see singing taught in this country. And we think these are the skills you need to do it, and we're going to try and attain them. So therefore, we need to possibly think some accreditation. But it becomes a sense of purpose, and it becomes a relevance in today's world. Because let's face it, as singing teachers, we are very lucky. Who would believe that on Saturday night, most of the nation would be sitting down watching a singing program? And we benefit from that. You go into most schools, the numbers of instrumentals, lessons are going down. Singing teachers are booked out. You know. Now we either say, okay, aren't we lucky and that's it? Or we say, okay, we've got to build on this. We're on the top of a wave and we really need to do it. But it needs investment in time and finance. So it's over to you. Okay.